Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Love That Laughs, Lighten Up, Cut Loose, and Enjoy Life Together by Ted Cunningham. Narrated by Adam Verner. Publisher's note, you will hear exercises in the middle of and at the ends of several chapters. Please keep a journal nearby to make notes of your answers as you follow along. Introduction. My wife, Amy, is a foodie. Her favorite restaurants serve small portions over many courses, and you never have to use the same utensil twice. I prefer large portions served all at once, and I'm good with using the same fork for the entire meal. You would think these differences frustrate us, but they don't. We decided a long time ago to find fun in every nook and cranny of our marriage. Our foodie differences first surfaced at a fancy restaurant in New York City. When we walked in, I knew immediately I would leave hungry. It was the type of restaurant some would call a four-forker. The friendly host seated us at a table near the front window. We had a welcoming view of the garden terrace and plenty of privacy. It was cute, cozy, and romantic. The waiter approached with a thick wood plank and presented us with two mint leaves. My immediate question was, "Is that the salad?" He assured me it was not. He invited us to each take a leaf and rub it over our lips, under our noses, and around our chins. Amy was all in, but I hesitated. All I did was hold my leaf and stare at the waiter. I grew up in Illinois, where we grew produce, but we never rubbed it on our faces, I said in jest. Our waiter didn't laugh. Come on, shouldn't rubbing herbs on your face be something a couple does in private? This was certainly the most awkward moment I've ever experienced in a restaurant. The waiter stood there waiting for me to cleanse my palate, so I gave him a show he would not soon forget. I took a bath with that mint leaf, rubbing it all over my body, then discarded the wilted leaf on the plank. He stared in silent rebuke, took our order, and left in a huff. The waiter wasn't amused, but Amy sure was. Amy's belly laugh reassured me she knew how awkward this was for me. She appreciates how I play through the pain. No matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, we try to prioritize fun and laughter. Amy and I turned our fancy restaurant leaf-rubbing date into what is known in comedy circles as a callback. Now, every time we go to my favorite restaurant, Le Cracker Barrel, getting her to laugh is easy. All I have to do is reach over, grab a piece of broccoli off of her plate, and rub it on my cheek. I sometimes get a smile, but if I add some physical comedy, I can get a chuckle or even a belly laugh. The callback. The callback is one of my favorite comedy skills. Great comedy is about surprising and shocking the brain. When a comedian shares a punchline you didn't anticipate, your mind is shocked into laughter. The callback shocks the brain with two thoughts: I didn't see that coming, and I should have seen that coming. Writing comedy is similar to writing a sermon, speech, or research paper. It takes discipline. The mistake a lot of public speakers make is thinking that comedy is best when spontaneous. Not true. It may look spontaneous, but it is not. Good comedy is written, edited, practiced, and edited some more. Let that be part of your journey as a couple working through this book. Be intentional. While writing great material takes discipline, the formula for writing comedy is simple. Establish a premise, then deliver the punchline. Skilled comedians establish a single premise, then layer multiple punchlines after it. For example, comedian Jim Gaffigan layers dozens of punchlines behind the premises of cake, bacon, and Hot Pockets. We laugh and subliminally think, I didn't see that coming, but I should have. The callback takes a punchline from earlier in the set and delivers it off of a new premise later. It is a joke for a second time in a different context. For example, my good friend comedian Paul Harris has a bit on bull riding in his set. He talks about his friend Rusty, who talked him into bull riding for the first time. Paul says, "Ask the fellas in here, they'll tell you. A good friend can talk you into doing stupid stuff." 20 minutes later, Paul shares the story of peeing on his grandpa's electric fence.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?